There are a number of ways to get help during this time for those challenges. Number one, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is there. The telephone number for that is 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K, or 8255. So it's 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. The National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. For a local number to reach out to, if you don't know those numbers, the easiest thing to remember is to dial 211. If you dial 211 and you hit 1, so 211, press 1, that will get you to assistance to locate resources for behavioral health, which include having suicidal thoughts or if you're in an abusive situation or relationship. The other thing is that 211 also has a text number that you can use. So if you're living with an abuser and you don't want to be on the phone, if you can privately use your phone and text 898-211, again, that's 898-211, you can be connected to a counselor who can help direct you to the resources that you need. And the House of Ruth is still operating their 24-hour hotline. For those of you who are familiar with the House of Ruth, which is a wonderful resource for victims of domestic violence. Their telephone number is 410-889-7884. Again, that's 410-889-7884. And I hope that these resources are helpful for you.
And to add to that, Dr. Jones mentioned about 211, and that is absolutely true. Along with the suicide hotline, folks go through processes where they're grieving too, and there are some excellent programs in Baltimore that deal with the grieving process that supplement the issues about suicide and all of that. So I think that calling 211 is an excellent way to get at some of those programs too.
Well, if you both would, to summarize, share what other thoughts you might have, any resources in addition to the ones you've already given, and we'll consider this phase one, because we certainly will be having you back as information comes available and we need to get professionals to help us out. So either one, you want to give a closing statement? Thank you much. Hello? Hello? Hey, Dr. Dale? No.
Well, that was great.
We're going to get him back. Go ahead and talk. I want to get him back to make a closing statement.
Okay, yeah. But it's great information. One other additional thing that was not addressed that can be addressed in later, that this thing is a double-edged sword. And what I mean by that is we're talking from the health issue where people have to stay at home, quarantine, and their normal routines have been on hold. But then you have some people on the other side, Larry, that are struggling financially. And that was addressed a little bit in terms of providing numbers for services.
Thank you, Doctor. I'm calling you Doctor. You know something. Coach.
I am a doctor.
Well, we'll deal with it another time. Dr. Jones and Dr. Dale, if you both would give us a closing statement, we certainly would welcome it. Dr. Jones?
Sure. Thank you. Sorry about that. So, again, thanks a lot for this opportunity. This is a very challenging time for all of us. The way that we're going to get through this time is that if we pull together, if we pull our resources, if we pull our knowledge, if we support one another through this time, then we will get through this. So as we are staying safe and making sure that we're keeping our distance and being physically distant, physical distance does not mean emotionally distant, does not mean socially isolated. I know we've been using that word, but that's really not what it is that we're talking about, because we don't want to be isolated. We want to be connected, but we want to be physically apart. apart from one another during this time. So just make sure that you're paying attention to how it is that you're doing and you're feeling on the inside. If you're having a hard time, what I'm describing as, if you're having a hard time feeling like your normal self, then it's time for you to make sure that you're reaching out and getting some support. So whether that means spending more time trying to connect with people who it is that you know and that you love, or whether it means reaching out for professional support or guidance, the resources are still there. They're there in a different way, but we've ensured that the behavioral health system and network is still available to you. So please take advantage of it. Thank you.
And Dr. Dill?
Yes, you know, I'm going to give a kind of in the weeds statement. You know, in terms of these times, in terms of having difficulties with coping, one of the things that I gravitate to is something called mindfulness. If you get to your providers, as Dr. Jones talked about, getting to the folks that could help you, trying to de-stress and trying to cope and having techniques for doing that is important. I just mentioned, for example, one of the things that I teach is how to do appropriate deep breathing and how to de-stress where you are. And given that, if you want to talk to someone about how you do that and what happens given all of the things that are going on, I think that would be helpful to talk about that further with an appropriate provider.
Very well. I want to thank you both for letting us interrupt your Friday morning by coming on the show. And as I stated, as issues become more and more on this, we now know that we can reach out to the two of you to come back. Hopefully you will join us upon the invitation. Thank you so much, and be safe out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For having
us. All righty. Whoa. I tell you. Coach?
No, go ahead, finish, because I got the next story, man. I'm furious. I know you would be, too, but go ahead.
Then you're going to talk about the one you sent me this morning?
Yes.
Let me see. Let me get Tyrone. Tyrone came on a little too late. Let's see what he was saying, then I'll bring you right up, Coach. Tyrone, I'm sorry, partner. I didn't catch you until they were ready to exit out.
But that's fine. I had a question that was germane to what the doctor was speaking to, and the gentleman that Eric. What I wanted to ask her is how does she feel about, because her whole thing was social distancing. So I wanted to ask her is what would she feel about as in the incidents with the pastor this Palm Sunday, what she thought about face masks. She wearing face masks and maintaining that social distancing. While it's worship and not having more than 10 people there at a time. That is more specific than what I think Eric was saying. But, personally, on a personal note, I don't see a problem with that. If you can go in a gun shop, you can go in a liquor store and all that. With somebody being in the church with less than 10 people with a face mask on, talking to that pastor, maintaining their social distancing. So that's the question I had for her as a doctor, not as just somebody with an opinion.
I got you. Yeah, again, I was exiting. I didn't look at the board in time to catch you. I'm sorry about that, partner. Thank you much.
Yeah, I was concerned about it. Perfect, you attack the church when something like this, when we start panicking. Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
And then to add to that, to counter that, then I would have asked, and he certainly, that was a great question from his perspective, but I would ask from a psychological standpoint to analyze why would a pastor open a church what has a capacity of 500-600 just for 10 people, you know, but hey.
Well, since you brought that up,
what do I know?
Yes. Well, since this was brought up, let me just remind everybody that today, of course, is Good Friday. And I know that the New Shallow Baptist Church, their seven last words from the cross will be starting at 12 noon. And they can join us online via the Facebook, YouTube, or newshallowbaptist.org, and look at. Well, let me share with you who's going to be there. I'm telling you, the Reverend Cecilia Bryant, Bishop John R. Bryant, Dr. Anthony M. Chandler Sr., Bishop Dante Hickman, Dr. Wesley McLaughlin, Bishop Frank Madison Reed and Dr. A.C. Devon, and the gospel psalmist Maret Brown Clark. I'm telling you. Now, that's at 12 noon today. Facebook, YouTube, and, of course, New Shadow at Baptist.org. Now, that's at 12 noon. And so if you call me between 12 and 3, no answer. I'll tell you right now. Anytime before 12, anytime after 3, you can catch up with me. But between 12 and 3, I'm landing right on that option. And, of course, I trust you will find your own to go to. And this is, by the way, online. Yes. Okay, Coach, we have a special guest coming in at 9:30. So you want to get your issue up now? You want to hold?
Well, it's not my issue.
I meant the issue that you brought to my attention.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Look, I mean, this is there are certain stories and topics that we discuss, and you can have two sides to it. But every once in a while, there's an issue or story that I deem inexcusable. And this one is one. Now, you know, we just got off talking about the pandemic, the crises. People are stressed and in situations that they've never seen before. So you tell me, why would a municipality cut off someone's water during this time and give them less than 48 hours notice regarding the water being shut off? And that's what's being reported with the residents of the Perkins homes. Now, can you explain how that happens? And then they, according to this article, they said that they tried unsuccessfully to get more answers from the city and the management at Perkins Home, but they eventually reached out to a mayoral candidate for help. Come on, man. How does this add up, Larry? A mayoral candidate has to help. Where, according to them in this report, they couldn't get any answers from the city. You tell me, man. You tell me.
I'm catching up with it because you were kind enough to share the article with me. I have to accept what you're telling us, partner.
I'm not telling it. I'm just giving it as being reported. But hey,
who was the candidate?
Through Vignaraja. Okay, they said they eventually reached out to mayor candidate Vignaraja for help, and that he immediately brought in bottled water and had planned to set up a portable sink when word came the water would not be turned off. And the mayor candidate says there's no explanation for why there was an emergency 2 days ago and now it's fixed today. Ah, boy. I mean, if this is true, if this is accurate, then someone needs to explain how this happens.
Well, the council folks there, the delegates, the senators, the administration, I can put in a call and see what the situation was.
Well, y'all listening, please, after the show, text Larry, call Larry, call me, that, and explain how does this happen, if it's accurate. And if it's a mayoral candidate has to fix this, then shame on y'all, if this is true.
Well, I got to be clear. Not clear. I got to add to that. Throughout the last couple of weeks, we've had other candidates that have called us based on the issue that we might have had any given morning. We have had a situation where other candidates have come forth and they were there on the scene to be helpful. So he, in this instance, the reporter caught him and doing whatever he could do, and he apparently did something. But there have been other candidates, Ricky Vaughn,
But Larry, the issue is not a knock on the other candidates, because the other, as you say, he was just in the right place at the right time.
There you go.